heart, there's here a group of over 50 or 60 people that are very anxious to meet you. So, can you? Can you hear?
Vera.
Yes.
First of all, thank you very much for inviting me to co-author with you, and also thank you very much for allowing me to present from a distance. I want to start by. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Super. So I want to start by apologizing for not speaking with you first. And it's my fault. But I thank you for accepting to have this presentation from a distance. So, and I'm glad that the technology allows us to do such things these days. So with that, if I may go on to the presentation itself. The presentation, the chapter that my colleague Nana Mensa Abrampa and myself contributed to the book is about scaling up high impact interventions. And in a nutshell, if I may address some of the key issues that we had in the book, they were the following. The first thing we talked about is when we use terms like spread or scale up, what do we mean by that? And I borrowed the definition that my colleague Joe McCannon uses all the time, which is he defines it as the science of taking local improvement, that is some intervention, an idea, a process, an innovation, something that is new that has produced a better result, and actively disseminating across a system. So it is not the passive movement of an idea, but rather we engage in actively making something better spread throughout the system. That's what we mean by that. Now, that's the first sort of issue that we addressed. What do we mean by that? Then we went on to some of the things that we know about diffusion and scale-up. We pulled on a lot of the work that was done by Everett Rogers, which is described in his book, Diffusion of Innovation. And Everett Rogers talks about what attributes make something spread, diffuse in a social system versus what characteristics make it less to spread. The first one he talks about, if I can go on to now slide number 3, diffusion of innovation, the attributes of an innovation.
I'm moving along. You keep going. I'll move up. Yeah, keep going.
Super. He talks about 5 attributes. Relative advantage, that is, to what extent is what we have done better than the existing? That is, have we actually shown that it's a better result, that it's an improvement, that it is more superior than what we have had to date? To the extent that it is better, produces a better result, then the likelihood is it's more likely to be taken up. To what extent, the second is compatibility, to what extent is this new innovation, this new way of doing things compatible with the existing systems, with the existing culture, with the way things happen? And of course, the closer it is to the organizational culture that we're talking about, the more likely it is to be accepted. Complexity. The more difficult it is to do, the less likely it is to be taken up by the social system in which we want to spread it. The easier it is, the more likely it is to be taken up. Trialability. People like, they don't just take innovations as they are. What people do is they interact with them, they modify them, they make them work for themselves. If you look at how every one of us uses the cell phone, every one of us has interfaces that are different, and the icons that we use and the way we place them. We like to do these types of things. So to the extent that we can play with it, we can adapt it to make it work for us, the more likely it is to be accepted. And then the last attribute is observability, that is our ability to see the results of this new innovation. The further away it is, the less likely it is to be adopted. Those are the sort of attributes that we want to keep in mind. But we want to take something to scale. We want to be thinking about those in the initial design and making sure that, to the extent possible, we're addressing them because the likelihood of adoption is high. The next thing that Everett Rogers talked about is this whole, if we can go on to slide number 4, he talks about categories of adopters. And he classified any social context, the people in it, into various categories. Primarily there's like the middle category is what he calls the early and late majority. These are the bulk of the people that constitute most of our social system. In terms of speed of adoption, he describes a group of people whom he calls innovators. These are people who probably have already done it or are already there. They're usually people who are way ahead of their social system in whatever thing that we're trying to move along. And those, at first sight, appeal to us more than anybody because they're the ones who are ahead of their time, ahead of their social context. But those usually are also the same people who are not as well connected to their social context. And although initially they appear to us as the ones most likely, and they are the ones who come on board if they're not already on board, before we even get there, they're not the ones who can bring everybody along with them. So as important as the innovators are, and as much as we love them, we need to think about the group that is more likely to bring along and to produce that large-scale spread that we want to see. And those, he talks about as the next category down, the early adopters. The difference between them is that early adopters are usually much more tightly connected to their social context. They're usually people who occupy leading positions, who are opinion leaders, who also are rooted in society, and therefore people look up to them, people follow them, etc. And to the extent that we can bring the early adopters on board, the likelihood of the early majority following and later on the late majority coming along is much more likely. So as we think about the social context in which we want to spread, we want to be thinking carefully about who are the opinion leaders in that society who can bring everybody else along with them? And if we target them, the likelihood of speeding up that change process, that adoption process, is going to be much faster. So he describes another group at the very end. Those are the last people to adopt it, that he calls the laggards. And essentially, what the message there is that you have them in every single social context, in every society. And there was a notion that dominated some thinking at some point where he said, you have to have consensus, you have to have everybody on board before you start. Well, you know, if we wait for everybody to come on board, the laggards included, the likelihood is we won't move very fast. And what Everett Rogers suggests to us is that we should identify the early adopters, we should move ahead with them, bring the, you know, they'll bring the early majority and then the late majority will come. And even at that point, we will still have some laggards who will resist. And waiting for them is not the best option if we want to spread something. Again, a very important lesson for us to think about. If I can go on to the next slide, which is number 5, some of the key insights from Everett Rogers' diffusion theory and some of our work that we've done is that we believe, first of all, the attributes of the innovation hold true. We've seen it over and over that these are important attributes that we want to be cognizant of and we want to make sure we're careful about. Categories of adopters are also true. However, they're true for a point in time. That is, for any specific innovation, you're going to find that this picture is true at one point. It is not true, the same people who are in different categories for one type of innovation will not be the same for another type of innovation. So, for example, I'm a global traveler. I travel all the time. For me, global roaming cell phones, ever since I've started this work, has been a major thing. But a lot of other innovations like iPods and things like these, as beautiful as the music sounds from them, I still don't have one and I won't have one. It's not the sort of thing that I do. So I'm the very same person in two different places when it comes to two different innovations. The other thing is, the same person over time can actually change from one category to the other. And again, people over time perceive different needs and may change from one grouping to the other. So somebody who in the past was not interested in global warming, if he were to join our work, they would suddenly move into, you know, this is something I really need to have because of all the travel that I do. I need to be able to connect wherever I am, that type of thing. The last insight that I want to mention is the whole notion of Edward George's work is very important and we've built so much on it, but he describes the passive spread of an idea from an individual to another individual. The nature of our work in global health isn't exactly that, though it's very important what he's describing. Our work is much more about the directed change in systems of care delivery. So it builds on his work, but it goes beyond what he describes in his book.
You have 5 minutes.
If I can go on to slide number 6, please. There are three key questions that we address when we're talking about spread. The first thing is, what is it that we want to spread? What is the innovation, the best practice, the new better result that we're talking about? The second is, to whom do we want to spread it by when? And in talking about that, what we're looking at is the social system, the people within that, who are they? And if we put a time frame, then that basically tells us if we want to reach that scale by then we start working backwards from that time in order to plan our spread efforts. And then the third question is, how are we going to spread? And that's our spread strategy, the means by which we're going to spread. If I can go on to slide number 7, please. There I've described a number of different approaches to spread. There are multiple ways to spread, so there's no just one way. And different ways are more relevant to different contexts, to different types of innovations and interventions that we want to see spread. I'm just going to quickly mention them. So natural diffusion is what Everett Rogers described. That is the passive diffusion of an idea from one person to the other. Exception agents are people who change agents from one person to the other, spreading interventions. Emergency mobilization is what we see when there's a catastrophe somewhere. The International Committee of the Red Cross is the master at that, how they can mobilize things in these situations, a very sort of very rapid way of spreading things. Collaborative improvement is something that we've used extensively, and we've done some of those in a virtual sense. Campaigns are a great way to spread as well, depending on what intervention, if it's what we would call campaignable. It's simple enough to spread through a campaign. Wave sequence spread is another means of spread in which basically, if we cannot take the whole social system all at once, we take it in phases. And one of the beauties of that is that we use the champions in the initial phases to be the spread agents for the subsequent waves. And there is a publication on that, and happy to share with you. It's on Faculty of 1000. Again, Nana Mentagrampa, myself, authored that article, and it's in the public domain. You can download it from Faculty of 1000.
2 minutes.
And then hybrid models are different ways of spread that combine more than one of these models together. And actually, most of the spread that we see are hybrids of sorts. They combine different ideas from different places.
Rashad, if you could go quickly over the key lessons learned, because we're running out of time.
So now I'd like to just mention the key lessons learned. The first one is that results are key drivers. What we produce in our initial phases that show good results become drivers for spread. And it's very important to work with people to enable them to make changes in their system, that there's multiple things. I won't go through them right now, but I'm listing them on the slide, that are basic skills and competencies needed to drive improvement in a system. One of the things to keep in mind is that people who work under constraints, particularly resource constraints, can come up with very creative solutions, and we should pull on that. Attention to detail is key when we're sprinting. As I said in the weight sequence, the champions are key to the spread, and we can conduct demonstration projects as an outside entity. But if we want to go to scale, this the leadership for that really needs to be from within the system, and the successful spread efforts that we have seen have been championed from within the system. With that, if I can stop here, and Elvira, back to you. If there are any questions, comments, I'm happy to take them.
Thank you very much. I think we have time for one question. Yes. If you speak loud, I'll retransmit. Early adopters, yeah. And your question is? Okay. The question is that sometimes we work usually with leaders to introduce new innovations, and sometimes we believe that these are the early adopters, but they are not very connected. And sometimes, so is there a way to identify the early adopters that are connected are going to?
Just a second.
Clarifying the question. The question is that by focusing on leaders, are we really maybe losing some of the early adopters that are going to, no?
So leaders are not necessarily...
Just one moment. I didn't get the question right. Oh, they're marginalized, yeah. She is concerned that by following this approach and focusing on the leaders, we may be losing the most marginalized groups in the population. So now you can answer.
That could be the case, depending on whom we reach out to.